The Mace, Vingan and Donick, 1025, 1063. The game will get back into the DeAndre Hopkins trade. Coming up after we discuss the Predators' first win of the season, a 4-0 win against the Boston Bruins last night. And joining us to discuss that, as he does every Wednesday morning, is the one and only Chris Mason, Predators television analyst. Chris, good to see the Predators get a win last night, a 4-0 win against the Bruins. What impressed you most about the Predators' performance last night?
I just think that, you know, I think for the first time this year that we saw what we all remember they should look like when they're playing well, and how they want to go out and execute the system and the standard of play in terms of getting to the net and everybody, you know, playing as a group, hard to play against, those types of things. I thought UC Saros was his best game by far. And the thing that impressed me most was the opponent they did it against. A team that, you know, I would say by any metric is really hard to get to the interior, really hard to generate any offense against. And I think last night we saw by far the Predators' best effort in obviously the result, their first win, but the type of offense they created. They got to the hard areas. They really out-battled one of the best defensive cores, one of the biggest defensive cores in the league, with the Bruins. So I thought all around a really good game and a strong response from an 0-5 start. It's one game, but that's what it looks like when they're playing well.
As you mentioned, Chris, one thing that happened in last night's game that the Predators struggled to do through the first five games is make it to that home plate area, that slot area in front of the net. They were the perimeter Predators through five games. A lot of shots on net, but not from grade A scoring chance areas. What was the difference last night? What allowed them to do that maybe they weren't doing in the first five games?
Well, they committed to it, you know, and it takes everybody. I think last season, and that's all we have to go on at this point, is if you're doing the comparison of what it looks like when they're doing it well, they had everybody. They were one of the top offensive teams in the last 30 games of the season because they went to the net and everybody did it. I feel at the beginning of the year, you know, you add superstar players, skill guys like Stamkos and Shea and Marchessault. You know, maybe you think, hey, maybe we could score a little bit different. Hey, maybe we can make some more east-west and some cute plays, and we don't have to always go to the net, and we don't always have to play that, you know, relentless tag word style of play. But this league, you quickly figure it out that that's exactly what you need to do, no matter the skill you have. And especially for this team and the way that Andrew Burnett demands his players, and they know themselves, but it's almost a reminder of exactly how hard and how committed you have to be and how hard you have to play. And I think we saw that for the first time where you had everybody, right? You know, it's a team that you need the depth guys going. The fourth line, I thought, had a great game. Zach LaRue came in. I thought he added a spark. McCarron and Smith were good. And all the way down the lineup, I thought the second line that we've kind of been having trouble with, trying to get some production five on five. They didn't get any goals, but I thought they were sniffing around. They got some chances, the best they looked, and the best team effort by far. And now all you got to do is you got to go follow it up and do it again. But I think it was a good reminder for the group to remind them how hard they have to work and exactly what they have to do.
We'll talk with C. Mace, Chris Mason, one half of the television broadcasting team. The other half is right here to my right, Willie Donick. Now, I'm sure you heard Barry Trotz yesterday with Jarrett. And he was on point last night, well, yesterday. And he said some things that, you know, probably was tough for some people to hear. But I'm sure everything that he told Jarrett was what he told the team prior to even going on with Jarrett. Do you think that had something to do with the way? Because they came out more energetic. They came out a little bit more feisty. And my man Novak, once again, he getting those goals. So I may go over. What did I say? I said he was going to have, 15 goals, something like that. He's going to end up having more than that. This kid is playing lights out. But do you think that what Barry said last night or yesterday before the game hit home?
Absolutely. I think, I think Novak, he'll be over 20 by the end of the year, and that's my prediction, as he should be. But I think they know that. You know, this is a group that's very accountable. It's not a young group of players that doesn't understand you know, how they need to play in order to have success. So I think they knew that. And, you know, coming from a GM, and Barry's very open when he goes on, you know, Jared or whatever media publication he's doing. But the players know that where they stand with him. And I think as a player, I'm sure you appreciate that, D-Mace. I don't care if somebody says, you know, you outright stink or you were terrible or this or that. As long as you know where you stand in the eyes of your manager or your coach, I think as a player, that's all you can ask for. And I think the players decided that, all right, enough is enough. This isn't acceptable. You know, that gets thrown around a lot in sports. But when you're 0-5 and you got a team on paper that should be able to, quite honestly, not play a great game and still win, you know, it just wasn't up to the standard. And we all know the difference when we see, you know, a team go out and they're playing their butts off and they're trying to do the right things and they lose. You can live with that. That's okay. That's going to happen. You can see, all right, we're going to come out of this. But some of the stuff they were doing, we talk a lot about, you know, the new guys getting acclimated. But Bruno's issue and Trotsky's issue was, a lot of it was the guys that were here and then don't really have an excuse for not playing the right way. So I think they knew, and I think it was important for, you know, for them to, the room to kind of decide, all right, guys, enough's enough. The joke's over. This isn't what we do. This isn't who we are. Let's go. So I think that, you know, Barry saying that, he probably made that well known to the group way before that interview for sure. But I think the response to me is what you look for from a team with strong leadership.
Chris Mason is with us. Mace, for people that maybe didn't watch the game start to finish, one of the things that we've been harping on, and Barry Trotz mentioned this many times in the interview with Jared yesterday, we went through three examples in our pregame last night. Moments in the game where the Predators seize the momentum, maybe dig out of a hole, and then give the goal back with a lapse. Last night, they had a crossroads, especially when they scored that early power play goal right on the next shift. Here comes the best goal scorer that Boston has, maybe one of the top 10 goal scorers in the league, David Pastrnak, and UC Saros makes the big save. I thought that was a big moment in the game, and there was, I think, the other example I would show would be Boston's power play early in the third period with Nashville leading 2-0. They came up with the big stop. They kept the momentum going. They got over the hump there.
That's a huge moment. And, you know, Saros, he's played well, you know, so far in the season, but it's those moments in the game that Pastrnak scores there, and that building and that team's confidence, which is fragile, is completely deflated. It's the old, here we go again, guys. You know, we fight so hard, we have a great start, and all of a sudden we get the lead, which is so hard to do, and then we give up a goal, and then it's scramble situation, and then you get those things creeping back into your game where you're trying too hard, self-doubt, all those types of things. But Saros was, he made a bunch of those saves last night. And although it was a great game for the Predators, they still gave up you're going to give up chances every game, but they gave up some big-time chances to their top players. Pastrnak must be shaking his head after that game. Marchand, same thing. They had a ton of chances, a ton of great opportunities. But again, you get that save, and all of a sudden it just makes everybody, you know, a foot taller and 10 pounds heavier, and you're that much more confident because you know your goalie's going. You can kind of just ease into it and just go play your game. You don't have to think. And that's kind of what I saw last night, was they just went out and played. It wasn't overthinking. They kind of simplified the way they played. They weren't trying the cute stuff. You know, they got some odd man rushes, I think maybe more than any other game. I didn't look at the analytics, but I felt they had a couple nice.
I believe it was 9-7 Nashville last night, which was that's a big improvement.
There you go. That's a big improvement, and that's, you know, it hasn't been the trend this year. So I think because a lot of the things they did good defensively, they rewarded themselves, and they earned those, you know, odd man rush situations, and then they capitalized. And they got the big plays. They got the big goal. They got the big kill. They got the big save. It was a really good game and a good response for a team that was in not a good space. But they found a way, and it's one game, and hopefully they can use that to build something, because they got a back-to-backer coming up.
Chris Mason, Predators television analyst, joining us as he does every Wednesday morning. Chris, thanks for chatting. We'll talk next week.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
That's Chris Mason. We have some breaking Titans news, according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network. The Seattle Seahawks are sending linebacker Jerome Baker and a fourth-round draft pick to the Tennessee Titans for Ernest Jones. So according to Tom Pelissero of NFL Network, the Seahawks are sending Jerome Baker, linebacker, and a fourth-round pick to the Titans for Ernest Jones. So add another draft pick for the Tennessee Titans. Ernest Jones was a trade acquisition right before the season from the Rams. Mm-hmm. Now a member of the Seattle Seahawks, going back to the NFC West for Ernest Jones. But Jerome Baker and a fourth-round pick to the Titans, you guys. Quick thoughts.
I don't know anything about Jerome Baker. We have to do our homework on him. I am very puzzled about the Ernest Jones. Now he's been traded twice in one season. That's very rare in the NFL. But I think it's the right idea to stockpile draft picks. So we'll have to see what Baker is. But Jones, I think we were all excited at the beginning, but at 1-5, I think you got to try stuff like this. Yeah, that's my first thought.
You got to make moves. You know, you trade a receiver that was productive for you last year, and you know, the offense was struggling this year. So you trade away an asset to get picks, and then you trade away a defensive guy that was playing. He was playing pretty good. I mean, you know, it wasn't like, at least me, I wasn't questioning the trade when they made it. I wasn't questioning, you know, him while he was here playing. That came out of the blue as far as them trading Ernest Jones. I thought he would at least survive the year, and then they would reevaluate it after that. But right now, you can see what's going on. It's the same thing they were trying to do last year. I think they wanted to do a overhaul last year with everybody. Tannehill, Derrick Henry, Byard, all those guys. But it was stopped. And I get why it was stopped. So you were able to trade away one or two guys, but not the full plate. This year, they're in, hey, listen, we're 1-5 right now. We're not going many places. Let's try to get something for guys that still can play. D-Hop, Jones, and don't be surprised if there's another trade that may come up pretty soon here. I wouldn't be surprised if Treylon Burks is traded, you know, depending on the severity of his injury. Because right now it's like, listen, we need to stockpile draft picks in order to build our team up. Really, Willie was right yesterday. Listen, we can supplement, you know, what we need to do free agency-wise. But if we want to be a good team moving forward, we got to do it in the draft.
Tom Pelissero of NFL Network reports that the Seahawks are trading linebacker Jerome Baker and a fourth-round pick to the Tennessee Titans for Ernest Jones. By my rough count, that means the Titans now have two fourth-round draft picks and the potential for a third, depending on the conditions on the DeAndre Hopkins trade. 615-737-1025. Willie, you had a thought?
Well, let's give you a quick rundown of Baker. I'm just looking at his numbers. He is played college football at Ohio State. He's about to turn 28 before the season is over. He started, for the most part, the last several years coming into this year for Miami, and then ended up with Seattle. And obviously, Seattle thinks they can win with the 49ers kind of stumbling around. Seattle has a chance to make a run in that division. It's pretty wide open in the West right now, right?
Yeah.
And so they're willing to give a draft pick and Baker for what they would see as an upgrade in Jones, a blitzing linebacker that would seem to fit the Ravens defense, the new guy.
McDonald.
So, and Baker, I don't know, but he has played a lot of games in the league. And he has been a starter. He's had as many as 7 sacks in a season. So, it's an interesting spot, but you get an extra pick. That's the key.
This is almost like a sort of lateral trade. This is not you're getting better or I'm getting better.
But you get a fourth round.
Yeah,
pick
that's what it's about. It's about let's swap the two guys because it's easy to do because both guys are basically. They're going into the same defense.
It reminds me of the Kevin Byard trade. Was it Terrell Edmonds was the player that the Titans got back from the Eagles, who was also a safety to fill the spot that Byard left behind?
But this is even better for both teams because you're taking two linebackers that essentially were in the same system. So there's not going to be this, oh, we need to teach him our defense. No, the same defense they're playing in Seattle is the same defense they're playing here in Tennessee. Now, there may be some variations of it that's a little bit different, but I'm sure from schematically, they are, it's just a swap. That's all. But in that swap, you get a younger player and you give us a draft pick. So I think it's a win-win for both teams.
As you just said, a texter said that Baker has played well in Mike McDonald's defense, which mm-hmm. is the same as what Denard Wilson runs. So that is the news. Also from Ian Rappaport, the deal is now done for DeAndre Hopkins to the Chiefs. The Titans will pay about half of Hopkins' salary. It may take some time because Hopkins will have to sign a new contract with the Titans. Then he'll be traded to the Chiefs. So there's some more news on the DeAndre Hopkins front. We'll get back into all of it. We want your calls and texts at 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.